We'll start at verse 20, but our text is found in verse 23. So Proverbs 4 at verse 20, and the text is verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 20, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body." And here's our text. "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your gaze, fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." And that's as far as reading from God's word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we come near to the conclusion of our series on Proverbs, we find that Jesus Christ, throughout the book of Proverbs, has been molding, has been shaping. He's been changing us from within. He's been aligning our character with his character, with the way of wisdom. But we ask ourselves the question, what is a godly character? What does it mean to be wise in our attitudes? Well, we are going to see today that the wise man is one who not only fears the Lord, but the wise man is one who from within his heart thinks, says, and does things that are wise. There is a development throughout the life of the Christian that when God gives us the ability to understand what is truth, what is wise, what is good, we begin to think and speak and act in a corresponding way. Our text is found in chapter 4, verse 23, that says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, with all diligence, for from your heart flows the spring of life." The heart is the seat of emotion. It's the wellspring of life. It's the center of your being. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks and the hand acts. An unguarded heart is open to attack. Therefore, we must be careful so that corruption and pollution do not seep into our heart and corrupt what we think, say, and do. Imagine for a moment the consequences of the guards at Fort Knox who would fall asleep, who would not do their job of diligently guarding and keeping this most precious treasure placed into their care. What loss there would be if the watchman fell asleep. Well, the fact is your heart is more precious than all of the gold in Fort Knox, and yet many people care little, consider little, think about little of protecting, guarding, caring for their heart and guarding it with all due diligence. So today we are going to see that Jesus Christ is going to teach us and enable us to guard our heart so that we would be wise in our character. And in speaking of character, I'm describing the lifestyle, the pattern of a man. This is kind of the conclusion part one. Over the past weeks, we've been looking at various aspects of a wise life. And now we're going to see that the character that God is producing within us, is molding us into, is a character of wisdom. So although Proverbs speaks to very specific things, what is the framework, the lifestyle, what is the motivation that drives us throughout all of the Christian life? So speaking not only to how to view wine, how to view women and wealth and worldly things, but how to view everything in our life that God places before us. So even if Proverbs doesn't specifically speak to a trial that you are having, how does the wisdom of Proverbs equip us to be mature Christians, to think properly, to speak properly, and to act properly in this world? So the theme again is this: Jesus Christ is teaching us and enabling us to guard our hearts so that we would be wise in our character. We start then with the wise attitudes, or the attitudes of the heart. Included in the attitudes of the heart, it's what we think, it's what we believe, the things that we love, the things that we pursue. The heart includes your desires, your emotions. It's the center of your being. And in spite of a contrary opinion, the opinion of the world, our emotions and our attitudes are something that can be altered and even changed. Bad feelings can be ripped out and replaced by good feelings. This can and does happen. We can choose to allow poison to remain in our heart, or we can purge the poison in the strength of the Spirit. It's like when you are stung by a bee. One of the first things you are stung when, after you are stung by a bee, is you need to remove that stinger so that the poison ceases to be injected into your body. Well, by nature, we are corrupt. We are all stung. We are poisonous. If we are going to have a renewed, sanctified character, the first thing that has to happen is that we need a new heart. That's what Ezekiel 36 says. God will give us a new heart and a new spirit. Or Jesus says this in the Gospel of John, you must be born again. Before we can even get to the right thoughts and speech and actions, we have to find the root cause of a changed character. And the root cause of a changed character is a new heart, a heart of flesh. So Jesus Christ comes to us in his grace by his Spirit, takes out our heart of stone, gives us a heart of flesh, and we have a redeemed will, desire, and even the mind of Christ, which flows from this new heart. When we have this new heart, then we can look at chapter 11, verse 5, that says this, the righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight. Do not swerve, our passage says in 4, verse 27. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Make level paths for your feet. Stay on the way that is righteous and that is good. So when God gives us a new heart, then we learn to discern certain attitudes and ideas that need to be rejected, denied, and done away with. Proverbs, throughout reading Proverbs, there are various attitudes that the wise man will avoid. For example, the attitude, the response, the gut response of anger, wrath, selfishness. 19 verse 19 says, the man of great wrath will have to pay the penalty. Earlier we read from Proverbs that if you deliver a man who is prone to anger, you're going to have to do it once again. A wrathful man is one who stores up discord. Hatred stirs strife. And not only is a quick temper bad enough, but those who are easily enraged cause great division and harm. Chapter 19, verse 11 says, good sense makes a man slow to anger. Therefore, the opposite of a bad or evil sense makes a man easily angered. But where do these bad gut responses come from? This anger and wrath and selfishness. If you peel it back to the root sin is usually pride and arrogance. Chapter 16, verse 18 says this, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. When a person thinks that they have all the answers, that they can do no wrong, they have ceased to become teachable. When a person is their own advisor, they will continue to do what is right in their own eyes. If you think about the last time you became angry, that you lost your temper, what usually is behind that is when someone said or did something that undermined your high opinion of yourself. It's your pride. It's the fact that you think you are above correction. The problem with this mentality is that throughout the book of Proverbs, we have seen that wisdom and truth come from the outside. If you in your pride think you have all the answers, you are above everyone else, and you don't need to be instructed, you have, by that very act, closed yourself off from the fount of wisdom and truth. It's folly that's bound up in our hearts. It takes the outside rod of correction to drive, to remove folly, and to put it far away from us. So the opinionated, proud man is easily angered and shuts himself off from the source of wisdom. So the first application is this: the Christian must never think they have arrived, they have all the answers, and they do not need correction, rebuke, discipleship, and discipline. You are never so holy that there is no sin in your heart, in your life, that doesn't need to be repented of. This leads to the second point, or the second aspect of a first point, is that by God's grace and Spirit, the church's heart, the heart of a Christian, is one that is convinced of its continual need for change and direction. It is the humility of a teachable heart and spirit. One of the hardest things that Christian is called to do is to convince that we are wrong, is to confess that we have sinned, and that we need to be taught, to be instructed. So chapter 19, verse 20 says this: listen to advice, accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. 15:31, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. And again, 15:33, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. So the heart of the Christian is the heart that is humble, teachable, submission, that says, I need to be shown the way, because if I'm left to myself, I will only go the way of foolishness. Proverbs 1 sets before us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, to receive instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity. Therefore, hear, set your heart on wisdom, and increase in learning. It is in this willingness to learn, to submit, to grow, to confess your sins, to put to death the sins that remain and come alive in the image of Christ. That is the context in which the Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. Throughout the book of Proverbs, you find that the wise man is one who is committed to joy, to compassion, to prudence, to self-control. Fill in the blank with all the other fruit of the Spirit that Proverbs sets before you. Those fruit grow from a humble, teachable heart that says, Lord, teach me. I, by myself, by my own nature, am proud and rebellious and easily angered, thinking I have all the answers. Lord, take that thought, that line of thinking, far away from me. Give me the attitude, the thinking of a wise Christian man that says, I don't have all the answers. I am a sinner. I need to be instructed in the way of righteousness and truth. So therefore, our passage says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, guard your heart. Be careful, because Christ by His Spirit has given you a new heart. That rare, precious jewel has been implanted within. Guard it. Be careful. Be careful what you take in, because what you take in starts to affect how you think, how you speak, and how you will act. And over time, the wise attitude will produce wise words and wise actions. For example, Proverbs 14 says, a wise man is slow to anger, slow to speech, being quick to listen. James 1 also echoes. So the application of the first point is this: a Christian, a wise man or woman who fears the Lord, sets a guard around their heart, taking in only that which is wise. Now, remember, this is not the power of positive thinking, Rather, this is Christian submission to God and to His Word, saying that this character response, my attitude, is unchristian. Before it even gets to your words and actions, it's wrong thinking. Therefore, I will not go down this path because I know where this path leads. Wrong thinking leads to anger, leads to wrath. Rather, help me by the strength of the Spirit to root, to pull out, to uproot this wrong thinking and to set my mind, my heart, on the things that are above. It's a prayer that we make. Help me by the Spirit to be teachable, to not be arrogant and proud, but to give me the heart of humble submission and faith. Well, as we then come to our second point, we find that the new heart, made evident in right attitudes and thinking, is made known in words. Now, the book of Proverbs addresses our speech over 100 times. There is much wisdom concerning how we are to speak given in the book of Proverbs. But the fact is, how you speak is a reflection of what is in your heart. Your language reflects your attitudes. Jesus says the same thing in Matthew 12, from an overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you grumble and complain and argue, then you have a bad attitude. But if you are humble and teachable and patient, your words will be kind. To start off then, there are certain kinds or manners of speaking that Proverbs says, don't do this. Don't act this way. That is not the way of wisdom. That is not the way of the church. The first group of words, or kind of words, are the hasty words. Chapter 10, verse 19 says this, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Or 12 verse 18 says, the one who has rash words thrust like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The first kind of speech that we are warned against is the babbling, grumbling gossip. You know the kind of people that have an answer for everything. Every kind of conversation is about them. They don't know how to speak about others in a positive way or to speak in a way that builds other people up. Being fast and quick with your words does great damage and leads to sin. Who here cannot think back over this past month and think of a time when their rash words, when they allowed the anger in their heart to spew forth in angry words, and the great harm that came when you failed to restrain your words? You wish you could take the words back. You wish that you could say, oh, I'm sorry, and that wipes it from the memory of the person that you just verbally abused and skewered. But you can't, because the mouth is like a torch, James says. It throws sparks all over the place and starts many forests on fire. I was thinking back to this past summer when we went camping with our family, and you have this the fire that is just about going out, and you have those coals, those red-hot coals that are in there. I had a friend in college and high school who used to take those coals out and juggle them, going back and forth. You do it quick enough. Children, I'm not telling you to do this. But you have this coal and you're juggling it back and forth. And what happens is that all of a sudden he loses it. He doesn't catch it. And it falls on the ground. It falls on someone's chair. It falls on someone's lap. And all of a sudden they're burned. Your words are like coals starting fire. The tongue does great harm, great damage. A loose tongue is like a loose cannon. Now, we're kind of separated from the time when they actually used cannons, but in early military warfare, naval warfare, a loose cannon on the deck of the ship was a great danger, because whenever the cannon fired, the recoil, the kickback from the cannon would cause that cannon to shoot back, and that's why they had these troughs that it was in, and they had it tied down with heavy ropes. A loose cannon was one that would break the ropes, shoot back, and destroy the ship. Our words are like loose cannons when we don't have a muzzle on our lips. Shooting, kick back, destroy. The loose lips are the words of the gossip, one who slanders. Not only is a fool known by their many harsh, rash words, their quick words, their content is also foolishness, vanity. The words they say are full of deceit, and it leads to destruction. 19, verse 19 says, "A false witness will be punished. He who breathes out lies will perish." Or 4, verse 24, "Put away crooked speech and devious talk." The foolish, wicked, rebellious man mocks justice and despises the truth. And by the words that he speaks, not only does he display the wickedness that is bound up in his heart, he also tears down and destroys. And this way, Proverbs says, leads to death. But the tongue of the wise is not like the tongue of the foolish, because the good that's in his heart is made evident in good speech. Well, what does Proverbs say? What is good speech like? Well, good speech is 17:27. It's patient speech. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. He who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Instead of being quick in speech and combative, a wise man knows how to restrain his words, to weigh carefully his response, and keeps a level head even in the midst of disagreement. Considering the use and purpose of your words, not using them to fillet and to skew others, but rather to build them up. Because Proverbs says, without the continual words, what happens to the argument? It dies. Have you ever tried to argue with someone who refuses to argue back? It doesn't work. Because without words, an argument dies. So avoid unnecessary and unhelpful quarrels. It is the glory of a man to overlook a wrong. Rather, seek with your words to be a blessing and to build others up. Kind words benefit those who hear it. 16, verse 24. Our gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Our words build and benefit, bless those when our words are seasoned with salt and full of grace. But don't assume that being kind and gracious with your words means that your words are weak and without power, because 25 verse 15 says, a soft tongue can break a bone. A word fitly spoken is like an apple of gold in the setting of silver, 25 verse 11. A wise answer is a thing of beauty and great words. The fact is, words have power. Your words are powerful. They can build up and they can tear down. Words can bless and they can curse. Words can also shape. Words can inform and mold those who receive them. The character of our inner being shaping those who hear the words of blessing. Our words hold great influence over others, because not only can we shape and instruct them, we can also convince them by words and the way of truth. We know that it is for good reason that Jesus says that the words of the gospel shape, they mold, they convince of truth. By the preaching of the gospel, the reading of the word, Jesus molds his church into his image. The Spirit uses the words and we are transformed into the image of Christ. molded in our character. And thus, by the strength of the Spirit, through the operation of the Word, the speech begins to reflect wisdom. It is these kinds of words that endure. They bless, and they benefit. 12 verse 19 says, "Truthful lips endure forever, but lying lips last only for a moment." True words have a way of lasting, but the lies will always be exposed in the end. Well, finally, very briefly, we have seen that when Jesus gives us a new heart, our attitudes, our thoughts, our emotions change, which leads to a change in our speech, which finally comes to a change in the way in which we live our actions, wise actions. If we think in our proud heart that we don't need instruction, we become rude and abrasive and arrogant in our speech, and finally we become hurtful in our actions. Proverbs 16:27 says this: "There is a way that seems right to an old man, to a man, but in the end his way is death." When you do what is right in your own eyes, you not only destroy your own life, you destroy the lives of those who are around you. That's what we learn from the book of Judges, when there was no king and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Not only does the individual, but the community is thrown into chaos, confusion, and death. Chapter 10 says, "A worthless man plots evil, and the wages of the wicked are sin and death." The actions of the foolish are those that not only bring death, ruin, and destruction upon themselves, but upon those who are in their community and in their family. Didn't we see that when we looked at wealth and women and wine and all the different things that we looked at, that when the foolish man lives foolishly, he destroys not only his life, but his family and everyone around him, leading to a path of destruction and despair. The wicked character leads to a rebellious life. The fool savors folly, destroying the lives and around him and leading to the path of darkness. But the wise man who seeks wisdom to speak wise and to act wisely becomes a benefit and blessing to those around him. He builds up not only his own life, which is in the way of blessing, but he is a blessing to his home, to his family, to his community, and to his church. He is the one who, as 20 verse 7 says, walks in integrity. Now that is a word that we do not hear anymore. Integrity. That's 20 verse 7. The wise man walks in integrity. What is integrity? Well, integrity is a truthful character and wise action. A man of integrity speaks the truth from his heart, and even better, does what he says. He's consistent. His good thoughts made evident in profitable speech and beneficial action. He's consistent and dependable. The word integrity is connected to the word for whole and complete. He is balanced and brings blessing. Oh, that we had a generation of men and women who had integrity, who had godly hearts, with good thoughts, wise speech, and beneficial actions. He is a man who is righteous, fearing the Lord and obeying his word. 19 verse 16 says, "Whoever keeps the commandments keeps his life. He loves the law of the Lord, obeying the commandments of God from a heart of gratitude." Or 11 verse 5, "The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness." To conclude, throughout our passage today, we were looking at how the heart affects our thoughts, our speech, and our actions. A Christian is motivated by the blessings that God has given to us, by God's goodness, and we seek to reflect God's goodness in what we think, say, and do. This flows from a heart of gratitude, a heart of thanksgiving. When we have a new heart, the Spirit plants His Word within us. We are given the mind of Christ, and by the strength of the Spirit, we put off the old nature, we put to death the sins that remain, and we come alive in the image of Christ. It's from this new heart that godly character can flow. To say this another way, a heart that fears the Lord is the root of wise character. A heart that fears the Lord is the root of wise character. Jesus Christ has ransomed you. He has paid for you. He, by his Spirit, has taken that heart of sin, that heart of stone, away from you and given you the heart of flesh. He, by his Spirit and blood, continues to wash and renew so that we continue to grow in his image, being holy in this life because our God is holy. Our thoughts, words, and actions flow from our new identity, which is grafted, which is given to us within. Our desire is to be holy in character because our God is holy in his character. 19 verse 23 says this, "The fear of the Lord leads to life." Our thoughts, our words, our actions reflect the state of our heart. True wisdom starts by trusting and fearing the Lord first and foremost. As we now come to the table, we are reminded of our sin, how we have all fallen short. We are reminded of our need to grow in holiness, in how we think, how we speak, and how we act. We want to look and act and speak more like Christ because Christ is living within us by his Spirit. And that's why we come to the Lord's table. At the Lord's table, we don't say, "We have arrived." At the Lord's table, we are saying, "Lord, we've begun. We want to grow more. We want to be fed. We want to be nourished. We want you to be made evident in us. So feed us, nourish us with your body and with your blood." So where the good path is, the way of righteousness and wisdom, walk in that way. Your heart reflects your being. So guard your heart and commit yourself to wisdom's way. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that you have given to us, reminding us of the need to guard our hearts, to be careful what we take in, to be mindful of our thoughts and our speech and our actions. May we, O Lord, be wise in every aspect of our lives. May we not be foolish. May we not be proud, but may we be humble and teachable. Lord, teach us the way of righteousness for your name's sake, so that we can walk in it and be a blessing to those who are around us in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.